Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soucy.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soucy. This show is available on iTunes, and like all of the podcasts here at WFYI, available on Spotify. Well, it's still going to be a short show, just you and me this week. I want to thank everybody for their patience and hanging in there. Mrs. Soucy and I went on vacation for almost 2 weeks. So long story. If you see me on the street, I'll tell you all the background problems we had before going on vacation. And then it was great to see friends and family down in Florida and South Carolina and North Carolina. So good times were had by all. The one film I do remember Mrs. Soucy and I got to watch from start to finish because we were finally flopped down in the hotel in Naples, Florida, was The Untouchables, because that film's on constantly. So we will hopefully catch up on new films on next week's program. So we're going to dip into the archives a couple of times. And then I did ask on Facebook and Twitter, what films have you watched since we went on vacation? And the algorithms are just weird this week, maybe because I asked on a Monday instead of a Thursday. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But first, I do want to raise a glass to three actors of note. The cult film world has taken a major hit in the last couple of weeks. Now, the last show before Film Sociology went on vacation was already recorded and sent when I found out about the death of former football great turned blaxploitation and action hero Jim Brown. So I did revisit Slaughter and the Spike Lee documentary about Jim Brown, which doesn't gloss over a couple of things known for his past, some of his past problems. So, but you do find out more about the man, good and bad, and a little ugly at times with that. So kudos to Spike Lee on that. But, of course, his first film in 1964, the Gordon Douglas directed Western Rio Conchos. And as he found out, the famous story with Brown was he was on the set of The Dirty Dozen. There was a delay in shooting, and he was going to be late to reporting for training for the Cleveland Browns, and the Browns and the NFL were going to fine him, and he just retired and got to keep his limbs and keep them in good shape, and then came into what was a profitable film career, The Dirty Dozen, which, by the way, Golden Globus Theater has a wonderful breakdown, I should say, of The Dirty Dozen. The week before that, they did Rocky IV. This week is Megaforce for you fans of Hal, for the fans of Hal Needham movies not starring Burt Reynolds. So anyway, but check those out. So The Dirty Dozen, yes, I'm going to that as IMDb, Dark of the Sun, Kenner, Ice Station Zebra, which is another action film I need to revisit, The Split, Riot. So the fact that early on, it's not even 1970, 100 Rifles is another film that was the Western with Burt Reynolds and Raquel Welch. But Jim Brown got to bounce off of the likes of Lee Marvin and Lee Van Cleef and Gene Hackman. So pretty good. Tick, 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 where he plays the black sheriff in a small southern town, along with George Kennedy and Frederick March. The Grasshopper, El Condor with Lee J. Cobb, Slaughter, as I mentioned, with Stella Stevens and Rip Torn, Black Gun, really fun film with Martin Landau, Slaughter's big ripoff, the sequel, which I also watched before going on vacation, with everyone's favorite mob boss, Ed McMahon, The Slams from 1973, I Escape from Devil's Island, of course, Three the Hard Way, and Take a Hard Ride, in 1974 and 1975, with the trio of Jim Brown, Fred Williamson, and Jim Kelly. And especially with the example of Take a Hard Ride, Jim Brown, while he's not nearly as charismatic as Fred Williamson, therefore he's the more serious type, so he's Wyatt Earp, and Fred is Doc Holliday, and Jim Kelly's a mute who knows karate. But that's kind of the images, the screen personas that those three had in the 70s. And both of them just fun films. Vengeance from 1976. Fingers, underrated drama from James Toback with Harvey Keitel. Always worth checking out. Pacific Inferno, One Down, Two to Go. Did a bunch of TV in the 80s. Popped back up as Fireball in The Running Man. Played Slammer and I'm Gonna Get You Sucka. Fred Williamson turned down to I'm Gonna Get You Sucka because he did not want to make fun of his bread and butter. But Jim Brown, Isaac Hayes, and Bernie Casey all took a part of that, as did Steve James. Killing American Style, L.A. Heat, Crack House, we're in the 90s now, Twisted Justice. Yes, they did try to make a TV series out of Hammer, Slammer, and Slade. Original Gangsters, which I also revisited. It is out on DVD and Blu-ray from Kino Lorber, and that's a must-have. Full disclosure, I got to interview Fred Williamson on the set of Original Gangsters for Film Threat magazine. This was published in the spring of 1996 and shot on the streets of Gary, Indiana, and Fred was great. And I got to meet Larry Cohen for a little bit, the director of that film. But really good commentary track talking about the making of the film and the fact that Fred Williamson, born and raised in Gary, and a graduate of Northwestern, I am, knew one of the county commissioners. So he had every available police officer in Gary and really from the county to help out with security. And at the same time, he hired some of the local gangs to be extras. So Fred was helping out the economy, and Jim Brown, really good in Original Gangsters. Also, the same year, he was in Tim Burton's film Mars Attacks as the great boxer turned casino greeter who helps out fighting the aliens. Other credits, he got Game, of course, as Spivey, one of the voices in Small Soldiers, one of the coaches in Any Given Sunday, On the Edge, She Hate Me, and his last credit in 2014 playing himself in Draft Day. And salute to Jim Brown, and also hanging in there, trying to work, and trying to be a good friend with Richard Pryor. Of course, there's a great bit in Richard Pryor's second concert film, Live on the Sunset Strip, about Jim trying to help Pryor with his addiction. And Pryor and Brown formed a production company called Indigo, and of which Brown was later fired by Pryor. They were there's a great scene in the Jim Brown documentary, and you can see it elsewhere, other documentaries about Pryor, where they have the initial press conference launching the company. They had a three-picture deal with Columbia, if I remember right, and hear Richard Pryor say, "We want to accept all scripts," and according to legend, they turned down The Color Purple, and they turned down Purple Rain, or at least Pryor did. And only two films came out of Indigo Productions. The third Richard Pryor film, The Godfather 3 of his concert films, Good Not Great, the film Here and Now, as well as the Richard Pryor starring and directing vehicle JoJo Dancer, Your Life is Calling. So what could have been... Richard Pryor's always been one of the show business's what could have been, on top of being one of the greatest comedians ever. But the film career, not quite what it should have been. So anyway, salute to Jim Brown. And Tina Turner, the first day we were on the road for our vacations when we found out about the death of Tina Turner, of course, played the Acid Queen in Ken Russell's film version of the Who rock opera Tommy, was one of the guests at Heartland in the film version of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. I love Tina. I'm not watching that. And, of course, 1985, Anti-Entity and her 40-pound or 70-pound metal dress in George Miller's Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome. And she also did play the mayor in The Last Action Hero. But really, really good. I got to see Tina in concert at Pine Knob, which is Detroit's version of Ruoff / Deer Creek / whatever. And back in 1987, it was the Break Every Rule tour. And yeah, amazing show. And most of the female audience tried to dress like Tina, which was fun. So, yeah, salute to Tina Turner. And And then finally, Barry Newman, another guy in cult cinema of history. He'll always be there. First film was Pretty Boy Floyd in 1960, appeared in The Moving Finger in 1963. The Lawyer, 1970, with the character Tony Petrocelli, which was later made into a TV series in 1974. But, of course, his big moment, 1971, playing Kowalski in the car-driving drama Vanishing Point. He also appeared, and if you're a fan of car chases and Hide to the Golden Globus, guys, there is more to it than just cars. It's Kowalski as a character. It should be on a double feature with the Walter Hill film, The Driver, and that's one I need to revisit. And if you're a fan of Death Proof, the Quentin Tarantino grindhouse film, the white car from Vanishing Point was an inspiration for that car. Newman also later starred in The Salzburg Connection, Fear is the Key, City on Fire. Amy was in, Daylight. And it was great to see him pop up and stuff. The last great role he had was playing Peter Fonda's henchman, Avery, in the Steven Soderbergh film The Limey from 1999. Also appeared in Bowfinger, Good Advice, 40 Days and 40 Nights, Grilled, and his last credit, Raise Your Kids on Seltzer, back in 2015. So salute to Barry Newman. Thank you, Kowalski. Raise a glass to you. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. We'll go around the horn, and then we'll grab a pencil briefly, and then we'll dip into the archives, all right? So at the Tibbs Drive-In this weekend, Screen 1, Transformers Rise of the Beast, and Fast 10. Screen 2, The Little Mermaid and Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. Screen 3, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse and the Angry Black Girl and Her Monster. And then Screen 4, Super Mario Brothers, and then Transformers. That is happening at the Tibbs Drive-In. At the Skyline Drive-In, a double feature of Fast 10, followed by The Boogeyman. And there is a Carload Sunday on Sunday the 11th, so there's that. And then just a note, August 25th is the Super Monster Movie Fest, Frozen Frights. And then September 9th, a Severin Sleepover, Severin Films Marathon. And Drive-In Massacre 2023 on October 6th. That is at the Skyline Drive-In. At the IU Cinema, mark your calendars, Thursday, June 15th at 7 p.m., Trainspotting. Saturday, June 17th at 4 p.m., Giant. And Thursday, June 22nd at 7 p.m., Friday. Saturday, June 24th at 4 p.m., Tokyo Story. And Thursday, June 29th at 7 p.m., Armageddon. Really excited that you had a chance to see Giant on the big screen. I want to thank the Paramount Theater in Anderson, if I remember right. Yeah. When I was in college at the Ball State University, they had just completed or were in the midst of their restoration of that old theater, and I got to see Giant and Rebel Without a Cause on the big screen. So I'm always eternally grateful to Anderson. At the Historic Art Craft Theater in Franklin, June 9 and 10th at 2 and 7:30 p.m., Monica, this is for you, Labyrinth, and McKenna, that's for McKenna Mays, that's for you too. June 13th at 10 a.m., Tuesday, June 13th at 10 a.m., is Megamind for the Summer Break series. June 16th, Friday, 7:30 p.m., You've Got Mail. Saturday, June 17th at 7:30 p.m., Dazed and Confused. Tuesday, June 20th at 10 a.m., Curious George. Friday and Saturday, June 23rd and 24th, 2 and 7:30 p.m., Napoleon Dynamite. And then Tuesday, June 27th at 10 a.m., as part of the Summer Break series, Nancy Drew. And then June 30th and July 1st, Friday and Saturday, 2 and 7:30 p.m., the original 1975 film of Jaws. All of that is happening at the Historic Art Craft Theater in Franklin. All right, friends, let's grab a pencil. Let's find out what you've been watching this week. As a reminder, you're listening to Film Sociology, Golden Globus Theater, This week is Megaforce, the Hal Needham film. Last week, The Dirty Dozen. The week before that, Rocky IV. So some heavy, heavy hitting films for you action film fans out there. And also this week on You Must Remember This, a look at the Adrian Lyne film Indecent Proposal, which I've already reported on Facebook and Twitter. That film came out when I was in college at the Ball State University, and I saw that trailer for that. I saw the trailer for that movie a lot, and the same thing happened every time they aired that trailer. As you know, this is the Adrian Lyne film where Robert Redford, Demi Moore, Woody Harrelson. Redford offers $1 million to sleep with Woody Harrelson's wife, played by Demi Moore, and the aftermath that comes with that. And when that moment, when the offer in the trailer happens, every time, some, at least one female would raise her hand or yell something like, pick me, or I'll do it. Ladies in the theater department at Ball State, I know who you are, and you did the same thing. In fact, there was one of my classmates even said, I would do it, and I would clean his house. So anyway, that is going to be discussed this week on You Must Remember This. Last week was about Madonna, the sex book, the erotica album, and the film Body of Evidence, which I don't think I have enough pizza and beer to watch experiencing that. So anyway, we go to Twitter, and my buddy Taffy, who I got to get on the show again, she recently watched Friends of Eddie Coyle, Trekkies, and The Big Sleep. Thank you, Taffy. Thank you, Moneypenny. Oh Heck Yeah writes, Indiana Jones came to Disney Plus, so we threw Last Crusade up on the home theater. Movie holds up so well. Great action scenes and a great rumination of father-son relationships. Well worth a rewatch. Thank you. And then Your Canadian Girlfriend writes, L.A. Wars, Mall Rats, Union Wars, a film about teddy bears at war with unicorns. Red Sun, the West German film from 1970 about four women with a pack about what to do with boyfriends at 5 days. Ken writes, Three Colors Blue. And Life is Complicated writes, rewatch some films I haven't seen in a while, The Color of Money, Pool Hall Junkies, The Sting, and Johnny Dangerously. Or as he accidentally typed, Johnny Denagorously. But I get it. I love Color of Money. Never seen Pool Hall Junkies. I need to work on that. I remember showing The Sting to M in their early phase, so they don't remember it, but had a good time. And I still think of Mary Lou Henner singing Embraceable You in Johnny Dangerously. And yes, there's some funny stuff in that film as well. Thank you, Life is Complicated. And I believe that is it for Twitter. And then we move over to Facebook, and Doug writes, Dodsworth, The Outsiders, Poetic Justice, Janet Jackson, which I believe is a documentary, and Being Mary Tyler Moore, also a documentary, and more musicals, A Damsel in Distress, Ziegfeld Follies, Gentlemen Prefer Blondes, Rock, 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 Silk Stockings, The Unsinkable Molly Brown, Madonna Truth or Dare, and Mamma Mia. Thank you, Doug. JJ writes, Tango and Cash, Fast X, Conan the Destroyer. You should hear Golan Globus' take on that film. Resurrection, the film from 2022 with the great Rebecca Hall, as JJ writes. Emperor of the North, 1973, Lee Marvin versus Ernest Borgnine. That's another film I need to revisit. Thank you, JJ. The Getaway, the original 1972. Tina, the 2021 documentary about Tina Turner. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, Sidemen Long Road to Glory, and Reality 2023 on Max, really compelling performances and so much tension. And there you go, friends. This is what happens when I ask for what movies have you watched on a Monday, apparently. So next week's program, I'll ask on a Thursday, and hopefully we'll get a bigger response if Facebook and Twitter will allow that. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Okay, we're going to dip into the archives for a couple of reasons. The first one being, and yeah, I actually received private texts and emails from friends wondering if I was okay when Padma Lakshmi announced that she was leaving Top Chef. I am fine. I'm okay. I've already extended an invite if she would please pack her knives and come join the Blues house party. Mrs. Sosie's laughing her butt off somewhere. So is my kid. But so, yeah, a great excuse. And, yeah, she posed for Sports Illustrated recently as well to replay my chat with Padma Lakshmi. This is from 2012. And another – this came thanks to my friend and boss, Roxana Caldwell, who got me on that emailing press list where you got to do phone interviews with famous people or known people. And got to do – well, the first one I did was with Padma, and I got to do a handful of these over the years – back in the, 2012, 2013, in the early stages of film sociology, and got to do some of these. And so we're going to play two of them. So, but for here first, because I can, here's my chat with Padma. Enjoy.
Hi, Matthew.
Hi, Padma. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
We're hanging here in Indianapolis.
I'm good. I'm good. We're just, we're sitting here drinking up some coffee. Very happy, jittery people.
Well, that's good to know. When it comes to summer, what is the first dish that you think of?
Well, you know, I think there's nothing so classic in summer as ice cream. And I'm going to show you how to dress up ice cream and make it into a fabulous dessert and give your guests a coffee all rolled into one. And the recipe is so easy, but if you don't write it down, it's on Nespresso.com. Basically, Nespresso makes these great espresso machines. Their coffee machines are renowned all over the world. And they basically have a Pixie machine, which is the one I love. It comes in a lot of colors. You pop the little capsule of coffee in. It's the best possible coffee. You make the espresso. You just take a beautiful, simple scoop of vanilla ice cream, put it in a coffee cup, pour the espresso hot over it, sprinkle some chocolate chips, and drizzle some caramel sauce. That is it. You could add nuts. You could add cinnamon. You know, you could add peanut butter chips. But that's the basic recipe. And again, if your viewers are, if your listeners are driving or whatever, it's on the website. Go to Nespresso.com.
Sounds like a good movie treat as well.
It's awesome, honestly. They have this beautiful milk machine called the Arachino. And it's basically you just plug it in and it steams up the milk and gives you that foam, just like those high-end coffee bars all across Italy and Switzerland and France. It foams everything up. It steams the milk in 1 second. It's beautiful. Actually, probably about 30 seconds. But it's so easy to do.
Well, can you tell us a little bit of what's in store for season 10 of Top Chef?
Well, we haven't filmed it yet, so there's not much I can tell you. We're in pre-production right now. I think we're just all racking our brains and figuring out how we're going to top Texas from last season. I mean, we had such an incredible, incredible season, and we're just gearing to shoot. It'll probably be on the fall, and I think we're trying to shake it up again. I think you'll see a lot of surprises. I mean, Charlize Theron and Patti LaBelle were on last season, so who knows who they'll come up with this season.
Padma, we can top Texas, Indianapolis.
Sounds good to me.
So I was curious, when you see somebody cooking in a movie, do you pay extra special attention to see if they're actually doing it right?
You know, that's a great question. I do, actually. I'm a big freak about continuity because, I come from theater and I've done a couple of movies, and so I can always tell when there's not continuity or when someone's phoning it in. And, that scene in Jerry Maguire where Renee Zellweger answers the door, watch it. When they cut to his view, her necklace is tied differently.
Ah, yes. So movie-wise, who can cook?
You know what? Stanley Tucci can cook his face off. That is not, he is not playing. Everything in Big Night is very authentic.
Great
so
film.
So can Martin Scorsese. His first student film was a film about his mom's spaghetti sauce. He gave me a copy of it. It's brilliant.
And didn't she do all the cooking in that one kitchen scene in Goodfellas?
Yes. That's an incredible scene.
So anytime we're going to see you in a movie anytime soon?
I have a couple offers, but my problem is my scheduling. You have to really do one thing and do it well. I haven't been in a movie since I started Top Chef 5 years ago. My last film was for the BBC. I would love to do another film. It just has to be the right one and work with the schedule, which is not always easy. I'm just thankful for my job on Top Chef at this point.
Of course. Padma, thank you so much for your time. I really, really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Take care, Matthew.
All right, you too.
From 2012, that's Padma Lakshmi. Of course, she has Taste the Nation. Season 2 is now available streaming. And thank you for all of her work on Top Chef. And, yes, Mrs. Sosie asked about her cooking pants. If you see me on the street, I'll tell you what that reference means. Also, Molly Sims had a birthday, and I will not reveal her age. I'm a gentleman. I'm that guy, but I'm not that guy. And this interview, I replayed this interview. This goes out to my buddy Whitney, and she knows why. But when I found out it was Molly Sims' birthday, I also had a chat with Molly Sims via phone back in 2013, and I got a little advice from her about health and wellness, and she said something I never thought I'd hear. So anyway, here is my chat from 2013 with Molly Sims. Enjoy.
Hi, Matthew.
Hi, Molly. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, hanging in there. Now, I have to know, which number reporter am I talking to you today?
I think you're number one.
Oh, Matthew. That's very good. So I will eliminate the next question. That's great. So
you can eliminate the next question. I think you're caller number one.
Fantastic. So how are things in your world?
My world is good. We just got into New York City. I partnered with Pons on their Luminous line to help women brighten up their dull skin. So I'm in the middle of writing a book called The Everyday Supermodel, which gives you tricks of the trade in my business and feeling and looking good. But and it's cold here. I don't know where you are. Actually, you're in Indianapolis. We're in New York City, and it's quite the freezing weather.
It's the Midwest in early March, so it's not that big of a shock. So what are some of the other tips that you can give as far as, you know, especially for me? Next week I'm shaving my beard, so I need some beauty tips.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so you want to use the Luminous line. It's really great. It has a great exfoliant, but don't over-exfoliate, especially after you do your beard. Wait a couple of days because it's new skin. It's like baby skin. But it's great when you shave because that's also something that makes you kind of look bright. Ben Affleck just did it. He shaved that beard off. So make sure you cleanse. Make sure you moisturize. Do you take a lot of pictures?
Yes, I do. I'm on Facebook and on WFYI.org.
Okay, so tip that camera down. Tip it up and tip it down. Makes you look about 2 to 3 pounds thinner.
Okay.
And if you can learn to retouch and filter yourself in your photos, you'll be fantastic.
And take about 15 to 30 pounds off. But that's fine. That's a good start.
Do you juice, Matthew?
I juice, but not as regimental as I probably should.
You got to do it every day. And I'm not talking orange juice and pineapple
right.
juice and blueberries. I'm talking kale and spinach and parsley and carrot and apple. See, I'm telling you, it helps you. It starts your day off. If you can have coffee, you can still have your coffee. I'm not going to make you do hot water and lemon, but you got to get your green juice in sometime during the day.
If I call you Mrs. Sosie, don't be offense to that. It sounds just like my lovely wife.
You can call me Mrs. Sosie. It's fine. I am a nagging wife to my husband. Well, I'm called Mrs. Stuber. Yeah.
And how is your son doing?
He's awesome. He's so fun. He just started crawling. We put him on grass yesterday, and it was interesting. I don't know. The same way I thought he would know how to eat a Cheerio, but he couldn't get it into his mouth, but we're working on it.
Well, good.
For 8 months.
Excellent. Congratulations.
But you and your viewers can go to Pons on Facebook. We're doing a 30-day Luminous photo challenge where all the girls can send in luminous pictures of themselves and win great prizes and awards, so make sure and do that. You can get more tips, Matthew.
Okay. And what is the latest on MollySims.com?
MollySims.com. MollySims.com is more of, it's my blog. It's a lifestyle blog. We cover everything from health to fitness to what I'm doing. I'm co-hosting with Anderson Cooper this Thursday. So it's kind of a day-to-day thing of, you know, of what I'm interested in, whether it be, you know, food or health or fitness or girlfriend problems or husband problems. It's a good site.
And guys, there's this thing in between the pictures. They're called words. Check them out on the page.
Exactly.
So I have a film show, so I'm wondering, what movies have you watched recently?
Well, I'm going to plug my husband a little bit. He just produced this movie called Identity Thief, and we were number one 2 weeks ago and number one last week. So it's a really good movie. It's with Jason Bateman and Melissa McCarthy. It's a fun, it's raunchy, but it's fun.
Good raunchy fun. There's nothing wrong with that.
I like it.
Yeah, I saw the pictures on the red carpet. Congratulations. It's
Thank
been
you.
a lot of great buzz about the film.
And also Silver Linings Playbook, which I know we just had the Oscars and it didn't win for Best Picture, but it's a phenomenal, phenomenal movie. Bradley Cooper is amazing and Jennifer Lawrence. I probably Argo and Silver Linings Playbook were my two favorite last year.
Excellent. So have you planned what the first film for your son will be?
I have not.
Starsky and Hutch.
Starsky and Hutch. He was in a little video of himself trying to touch grass yesterday, so that's his first little video.
Well, you should do the DVD commentary for that.
I know, right? He's about to touch it. Wait, hold.
So there you go. From 2013, my interview with Molly Sims. Happy birthday to Molly Sims, and congratulations on the next career chapter for Padma Lakshmi. Your pledge dollars at work. Friends, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. There's some out there. Mrs. Sosie and I are going on a mini vacation this weekend, so hopefully next week we'll get back into the swing of things as far as films and the never-ending pile of DVD and Blu-rays. The struggle is real. And I'll ask again, probably on a Thursday this time around, what films have you watched? And hopefully Facebook and Twitter will let us have a bigger response. We'll have to see how they're feeling. Anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting the show and WFYI and all things public radio goodness, and we'll do this again next week. Take care, everybody. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!